Not again. We cannot start with that again.
I'm making the mouth of the child who's also makes the mouth of the cat that looks like the child coughing.
The tongue?
Yes. The tongue and the circle mouth.
Welcome back to Tuxedo Time, where we were Tuxedos in His Time podcast edition.
Coughing edition. Coughing child edition.
Do you remember when we had segments on this podcast? And one of which was called That's Friggin' Deadly, where we talked about the thing that was so friggin' deadly.
What does the song go like?
I think it's on there, is it?
What is it?
Friggin' Deadly. Cravely
Committed.
No.
That's Friggin' Deadly. Welcome back to another episode of That's Friggin' Deadly, where we talk about things that we think are deadly.
And by deadly, you mean wicked.
And by wicked, you just mean good.
Correct.
Because we are from Newfoundland, and those are things that people say.
That is right. Yeah, let's make a whole episode of That's Friggin' Deadly. I think the last few ones we've had really specific topics to talk about, and sometimes they end up being really, I mean, the description of this podcast is like casually talking about, well, I don't know, there's like a whole thing I wrote down and we used to know it, now I don't know what it is, but we used to talk about life and being a creator. That's still what we talk about, but we're going to kind of talk a whole episode of the things that we've been loving lately. Podcasts, books, videos, YouTube, I don't know.
What did I say last time?
When?
On the last time we did That's Friggin' Deadly.
It was a year ago, so I have no idea.
Okay, you know what I'm going to start with?
What?
Charcoal barbecues.
Okay.
Did I do, because I don't think we've done this in a long time.
Okay, yeah. So this is going to be called a wax and wane of inspiration. So we can, yes. Well, let's talk about charcoal. Okay, let's do it. Charcoal barbecues, baby. Go.
Charcoal bar-
Did we mention that we're really into outdoor cooking?
So 2 years ago, was it 2 years now? 3 years ago now? 2 years ago now.
2 years. Is it?
I don't know. We purchased. I went down the rabbit hole. There was a few weeks where our YouTube algorithm was serving us entirely
Smoky Dead Barbecue. And yeah. Chef Tom.
And Chef Tom from ATBBQ. Yeah, where it was basically just
where barbecue
us.
Legends are made.
Yes, exactly. So we went down the rabbit hole of barbecuing, specifically smokers, and specifically Kamado style ceramic egg charcoal barbecues.
Yeah.
And we ended up purchasing and settling on a Kamado Joe ceramic barbecue, which basically is just a big ceramic bowl that has vents on it, and you put charcoal in it, you light the charcoal fire, and then you cook on it, and you can put smoking wood on, and it's changed the way we've cooked.
Yes.
If anybody has seen my Instagram stories for the last 2 years.
It's kind of been one of your passions has been smoking meats.
Yeah.
Are you inspired by animal carcasses?
I mean, it's definitely, I'm inspired to cook the meat because it tastes fucking delicious.
You're inspired by Chef Tom from ATBBQ.com, yeah. Actually.
I guess what it was... Why this is friggin' deadly is because it took our meat cooking to a new level.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things where I didn't realize that we could make meat that far exceeded restaurant quality steak.
Yes. That's been the biggest game changer, has been like the quality of beef.
Right. Like I will never order a steak when I'm at a restaurant.
Because it's double the cost and disappointing.
And it's disappointing. Exactly. So smoking meats on a smoker yourself, and it's kind of like just very satisfying. And maybe that's just like the dude in me who
I love it too,
but who likes a barbecue.
I love it too, but we all know what happened to me that time.
What happened to you?
Well, I saw 10 gifts for dudes for Christmas time, and I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, I love all this stuff.
And you're like,
am I a dude?
Am I dude?
So anyway, yeah, maybe it's a dude in you, but also I'm a dude.
Yeah. Now, the Kamado Joe Classic 3 is probably one of the top-end ceramic
you don't fuck around
egg-style barbecues, but you don't need that level of barbecue to get the results. Like, you can purchase, like, just a cheap old, you know, metal tin style egg one. I don't even know what they're called. Weber style.
You could put probably charcoal in a foil pan and probably barbecue over that.
100%. In fact, you totally could.
In fact, I saw Sam the Cooking Guy do that.
Yeah. Like, you don't need to like have a fancy thing. And in fact, when we're out in the woods, we're cooking steak over the fire.
Yeah.
I realized, oh my God, this is just like cooking over a slightly less controlled charcoal bed.
Yeah. It's a little bit more difficult. Yeah. But the concepts are the same.
You have to tend to it more. But it's like, wow, this is quality wise. This is like having a meal cooked over a fire is just like cooking it over charcoal. It tastes the same. Yeah, that nice smoky taste to it.
Oak, smoking with oak wood.
Oh my God.
It's just.
Okay, hear me out. Here we go. Okay.
Drop it.
Two and a half inch thick bone in ribeye.
Yep. Did you say bone or ribeye?
Bone in ribeye. Trombone or ribeye. And seasoned with just a basic cattleman's trail dust.
Which is
essentially just salt, pepper, garlic
powder,
onion.
Yep. Oh, and it's like, it's almost like a Montreal, isn't it?
It's kind of tastes like a Montreal steak spice, but it's just a general all-purpose spice that you can pretty much use on anything.
Yeah, and it's kind of coarse.
And it's coarse, yes. Ooh. And that's the issue, the key is that it's coarse, right?
Yeah.
Heavily seasoned, 2.5 inch thick bone-in ribeye, smoked on the smoker with oak wood for about 45 or 50 minutes to get up to 110.
This is a reverse sear at 200 degrees.
Once it's up to temp, 225 on the smoker-ish. And then with oak smoking wood, and then sear it until internal temperature is 125, 130-ish.
Get the fat cap, render that fat down.
Then you cut off the spinalis, which is like the really fatty, delicious cap on top of the ribeye itself. Cut the bone off first, then separate the ribeye from the spinalis. And then you separate it along the fat plane, and then you sear those pieces of fat so that it renders the fat perfectly on both pieces.
Fuck, so good.
That is my favorite piece of meat ever.
It's funny because growing up, like, filet mignon was like, that's the big Jesus steak, that the fancy steak that you get like once a year, tenderloin.
Yeah.
And like, that is the be all end all steak. Mm-hmm. And second to that was like strip loins.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That's all we talked about. Like, if you were having a fancy dinner, that was the two steaks.
Dude, ribeye, man.
Ribeye, underrated. The best.
I feel like people know about ribeye now.
Now, yeah. Best cut of meat. Best cut of beef, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate all the cuts, but yeah, the bone and ribeye cooked that way, that's been my favorite and go-to. And it's just like, it's a dream every time.
We do chicken wings as well.
Yeah, chicken wings.
Chicken wings are fun. We'll get
when in Buffalo.
Yep. We'll do either like a barbecued one or we'll do a lemon pepper. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do the lemon pepper with like a kind of like a Caesar dressing, mm-hmm, with Parmesan cheese over top. And same with the barbecue sauce ones. Yep. We'll just go really heavy with the sauce. Like, we want them to be at the restaurant,
and
where they're not.
Drizzle of ranch over the top.
Oh my God. They're so good.
Anybody from Buffalo who's listening, don't at me, because I know y'all like your blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But ranch, man. Ranch is also good.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and be a little controversial here. And I'm going to say that, you know, and to preface this by saying first that you and I, having lived in Buffalo since 2017, we've tried our fair share of Buffalo wings along the wing trail.
I've got a couple of favorites.
Yeah, but I think that the wings that we've pulled off the smoker, mm-hmm, have been better than any of the wings in Buffalo.
I have to agree from like a takeout perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, so
Kamado Joe.
In summary, charcoal barbecue changed my life. I'm pretty sure I did the last.
I'm pretty sure that's what the last one was. But it's been so long.
But if I can't remember.
They can't remember.
These guys can't remember.
Unless they just listen to it.
Yeah. You guys can always go back and check. Okay.
Okay. All right.
What's next on your That's Friggin' Deadly list?
Okay. My That's Friggin' Deadly is the 2004 Ewan McGregor series Long Way Around.
Didn't know where you're going with the 2004.
And then also 2007 Long Way Down, uh-huh, and 2020 Long Way Up. So somebody.
Was that 2020?
2020. It was right as the pandemic was starting.
Wow. Oh, it was released in 2020. It's probably done in 2019.
Yeah,
it was
2019. Yeah. So some of you told me to watch this for a while ago. And then it wasn't until Harris, your buddy at work, was like, you need to watch this. I think you'll like it.
He watched Heading West. And he says, this is very reminiscent to me of Ewan McGregor's series, Long Way, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's that? He's like, they basically like packed up motorcycles and do these long cross-country motorcycle trips.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's like us, but we're doing it in a helicopter. He's like, yeah, exactly. And so I told you, and you're like, man, some people have been telling me to watch that. Like, I need to watch it now.
Yeah. And so I did, and I loved it. So there's three seasons of it. The first one came out in 2004. And it's really funny to go back and watch something like that from 2004 era, because you're so used to the fast-paced editing of today's YouTube video that when you go back that far, it's like they took two full episodes to prepare for their trip. 2-hour-long episodes. And I was like, boys, this could have been cut down.
Get on the road already.
Right? So it took me a little bit of time to get into A Long Way Around, which was their first one. They traveled from the UK all the way around the world through like Russia, up through Alaska, and then down through New York City. And it was an epic trip. The whole series was filled with like insane adventure and travel and just like tough experiences, but it took like
a road to bones.
And there's a road, they went to the road to bones, and now that's
on a motorbike.
On a motorbike, and that's like it's been like a thing. Like, we picked up Charlie, like a couple of things from the series.
Charlie Bone.
Charlie. We're going to the road to bones. Everything is a road to bones, and we have to say it like that.
Yes.
But it was so good. It took me 3 or 4 episodes to really get in the groove. I was like, I know I had to watch this because people have been saying it. I loved it. And when I was done the first season, I watched Long Way Down, where they went to Africa, South Africa, from Scotland, I think it was. Epic, so good. And then the 2021, I was really looking forward to, because I couldn't wait to see how they were going to package this in a new format into like today's video.
Right, because like 2020, 2019, that's a world, totally a world.
You mean 2004 to 2020.
No, the third one was released in 2019, in 2020.
2020, yeah.
Yeah, comparing that to 2004.
Yeah, like not only is like the pacing and editing and stuff different, but like also the cameras are all different.
There was a revolution of cameras. GoPros like didn't exist back then.
Yes, and they were using like the DJI Osmo Pocket and stuff. I was really excited to see what cameras they were using, which is not normally something I would really care about, but I was really into like how they were, you know, obviously documenting something so extreme. But what I found was really cool about the most recent series was that they did it on electric motorcycles with Rivians as their support vehicles. And Rivian was just like, they took the first and the second vehicle ever. And it wasn't, they weren't even finished. They were like prototypes.
Yeah, like
they took
them on the road. VIN number 1 and 2.
Yeah. And so I thought that was a really cool.
VIN 1 and 2, I should say.
I thought that was a really cool and interesting concept. Especially so early on in the electric vehicle. I mean, we're still pretty early in it, but like for Rivian to come through with those old, you know, brand new, not even out like prototypes or whatever. I thought that was really cool. The level of adventure definitely was not as extreme as the one in 2004. I mean, the guys were a lot older, obviously, different area and electric. You can only do so much with like electric vehicles.
In some of the areas that ran.
Yeah, they were in pretty remote areas.
And the charging infrastructure, like back in that, in even like 4 years ago when that was going on, was not what it is today. But then also do it like throughout South and Central America.
Yeah. And I think that was the challenge of it, right? Was the kind of the main turmoil was like trying to find charging stops along the way. Whereas like the first one, they were going through the most remote areas and they were getting stuck, and like they wanted to go through areas that people said were not passable unless it was wintertime, and they still did it. And so there's a lot of remoteness and like crazy adventure to the first one that I felt was kind of missing from the third one. But the third one still had that kind of, you know, are we going to find a charge station? Our bikes are dead and we're in the middle of nowhere. And like, how are we going to get here and there and whatever?
Different types of conflict.
Totally. Conflict is the word I'm looking for. So I loved them. And now I'm kind of searching for something to kind of replace it. I found a couple of YouTube channels that I've liked that kind of have the similar kind of thing. There's one called Revzilla. There's a channel called Revzilla, and they do a...
It's like Godzilla, but revving your engine.
Yeah, somebody recommended on Twitter, and they do a series called Common Thread, and I loved it. It's a little bit more kind of like TV show-esque.
And then you realize that there's a whole niche that we had no idea about, which is cross-country motorcycle travel series.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that and like cross country bikes stuff.
So, I can see that. I can see people like to do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like RV.
Bike packing is what it's called.
Bike packing. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure people do it on pedal bikes too.
That's what it is. Pedal bikes.
Oh, pedal bikes. Okay.
But pedal biking and camping, I think that's bike packing, but I don't know if motorcycle camping, I guess, is what you would.
Road to bones, motorbike.
Road to bones. So anyway, Long Way series with Ewan McGregor and Charlie. And I loved it.
You did love it. I never got into it. And you just kind of like forged onwards without me, and that's fine.
You watched the last season with
me. Last season with you, just because I thought it might be more palatable, since I wasn't really vested in it.
Yeah.
So like, I didn't really have the stamina to go like sit through older, slower content.
Yes, I did. I was looking for that, like something like Departures is what I was looking for. I wanted something that was going to have that effect on me.
And Departures being from that era.
Yeah,
which 2007. Which was like a Canadian travel show. Mm-hmm. They were Canadians, right?
Yep, Canadian travel show.
And the boys would just basically travel around the world and film it.
Best show. That was the whole reason why we started a channel.
That was almost like...
major inspiration for me.
That was almost like a time when like people traveling the world wasn't like a common thing. I feel like now like a lot of people saw that or that era and were inspired to make. And a lot of the YouTube channels that we see nowadays where people just travel full time, like that's kind of the formula they follow.
Yeah, it's funny because like back then, I feel like, you know, when you heard somebody went backpacking to Europe or whatever, like it was a really weird, odd thing to do.
But it wasn't like, but it was common.
It was common.
Like
yeah.
Calling it backpacking in Europe. I feel like making a travel YouTube channel is the new backpacking in Europe.
Yeah. So we see a lot more of that kind of stuff now. Mm. But maybe because of YouTube and the internet, we're able to see it more than maybe more people were still doing it back then, just not documenting it.
Yeah, that's true. Everything's content nowadays.
Yeah.
What else? Everything is content.
Everything is content. What else have you been loving? What about that TV show that you've been watching?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been watching Masters of the Air.
Yeah.
And maybe it's me enjoying aviation and it's like a pilot-related show, but also like being a dude and who just for some reason loves period pieces in World War II era, like war
are
movies.
You my dad?
Yeah, basically. I'm just an old man.
Yeah.
And
you are my little old man.
And I don't know. And also I think it was like directed by Steven Spielberg. It's got a lot of big names.
Oh,
in
I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah. And it's got a bunch of huge names. The most recent episode had the guy in it from, remember, what's his name from Sex Education?
Eric.
Eric. Yeah. He was just in the last episode playing a totally different role. Like,
really?
I know you're picturing him as like Eric in Sex Education, but yeah. Like he is like the polar opposite character. I'm like, whoa, this is very different.
Cool.
Yes. A lot of like big names in it. Buddy who plays Elvis, Austin, someone,
mm-hmm.
sounds like Elvis in it.
Really?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's just the guy's voice. Yeah. A lot of big names in it. A lot of big, actors and apparently, yeah, Steven Spielberg has his name on it in some capacity, but it looks very pretty. Like it's like any other TV show now. It's a high budget TV show that's shot like a movie.
Yeah.
And like the credits after every episode, you know, which is like an hour long, are like, you know, a movie
massive.
Length.
Yeah.
And, but it's just very entertaining. I like the action sequences initially in the first, it's an eight or nine part series, and they've just released episode 8, I think, yesterday. So mm-hmm. I've been kind of like, it's one of those shows where I started watching it at the beginning. I made the mistake of watching it like when there's only 2 episodes out. Now I have to like wait to like slowly as they drop every episode weekly.
But there's, you know, there's something special about that because I don't know if you feel like this, but one of my favorite YouTube channels, Jim Baird,
mm-hmm.
he and his wife, they do like series. Sometimes he does them on his own and sometimes they do ones with their family,
mm-hmm.
but they usually post on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know like Thursday evening that there's going to be a new video of theirs and it's going to be like a juicy 45 minute adventure video.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to that. Like, oh, it's Thursday, 6:30. And I know after supper I can sit down and watch it. Or like if you're on call or coming home late, like I have something to look at. And I really look forward to like my Thursdays to see that show.
Interesting. See, for me,
you want to binge watch it on the weekend.
I do. It's just like, bitch, we're living in the 21st century. Like, I'm paying for a streaming service. Like, I want to stream all this stuff now, because I'm, you know, my attention span is like this.
Yes.
And I just want everything out. But I get that, yeah. And it is kind of a throwback to the old school days where, like, with syndicated TV and things, like, or with episodes where they've been released, like, you know, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably also, too, for the streaming companies. They don't want everybody to just sign up for the free trial, watch the one show they wanted to watch, and then cancel it.
Yeah.
It's like, at least there's a chance that they might get hooked on something else and keep their subscription. But yeah, no, it's been, and also too, cause I don't like when I come home on Friday night, like usually you and I are hanging out
mm-hmm.
and where you don't watch that show or you have no interest in it. I feel guilty watching it and be like, I'm going to watch it on Friday. Yay. You know, it's like
right.
We're having a date or something.
Yeah. It's a little bit different.
So it's like, oh, I'll find us some time over the weekend at some point to watch it. So it's not like I'm really looking I'm like counting down like the minutes till it's released that one day kind of thing. But yeah, no, I've been really enjoying that show. I watched Silo. Mm-hmm. On Apple TV as well. I made the mistake of watching that show, not because it was bad. I actually really enjoyed it. But it's a one season show.
Yeah.
That may never get renewed.
Oh no.
So it's kind of one of those things where like, oh, this is like a juicy universe that they've created or that is based on a book, apparently, or a set of novels rather. So it may never see the light of day again within a season two, but then I also have to wait till season two gets approved.
Right.
So it's like, okay, made a mistake doing that. But I do find that like, I've been finding Apple's had a really cornered the sci-fi adventure kind of genre.
Yeah. You really like the war movies and the sci-fi stuff. And yeah. I really like the documentaries and rom-coms.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been inspired by lately?
I'm inspired by a lot of things. I'm in my inspiration sponge soak up mode right now, where sometimes during the year I can't watch anybody's content or look at anything because it fucks me up if I'm working on my own projects. But sometimes, usually after Christmas, I feel like, okay, my mind is open and I'm ready to take it all in.
Ready to consume?
Yeah. Now I can watch Jim Beard's channel anytime. Same with most of the canoe adventure videos because I find them really relaxing to watch. It's almost my wind down. But his videos are on another level. Him and his wife, Tori, do some really insane adventures and they do them with their kids, which is really cool. And sometimes he goes off solo, but I love watching them because they do nuts shit that I would never think of doing.
Didn't Buddy like walk across? We watched one yesterday or a couple nights ago that was like him walking across some barren wasteland of like desert.
The Ngaba Peninsula is what he walked across. He walked across the Ngaba Peninsula. And it was like 30 days and he like shit his pants and like he was in the tent. It was in dead ass of winter.
I too have pooped my pants.
Like this dude is doing some fucking insane shit. But he also has like the personality to really be able to watch for a long time. Like he's fun to watch. He kind of, I don't know how to describe him. He's just kind of unique person and he doesn't seem like he puts on a character for the camera. He's just him, but he's also like enjoyable. And he's really smart. He talks a lot about like, you know, nature and animals and landscapes and all sorts of history about things that somehow he knows. It's just, you know, it's just crazy. He's like, oh yeah, this thing here is specifically, this bird is really smart.
He's a professional adventurer.
He is. And that's it. He's just a professional and he's really knowledgeable in his field. So I like watching him for that because he's not only just doing these adventures, but he's actually talking about some of the stuff too, like the different types of landscapes that he's encountering or geology or like nature or like history, which is really cool. But I love watching the ones with his wife because his wife is such a badass. Like she's just out there doing all the stuff that he's doing, you know what I mean? And she's putting up the tents and she's doing the cooking and she's chopping wood
also like
boss,
going down the rapids,
dealing with rapids and like also taking care of the kiddos on top of all of it. Like it's pretty neat. But like yeah, she's just bombing rapids and she's like a fantastic paddler. I don't know what you call it, but anyway, I find that really inspiring as like a person who's kind of starting to get it.
A female adventurer.
Yeah. She does this course and I really want to take it. Paddling. It's called Paddle Like a Girl. And I'd like to do
Can I do it?
Maybe. I don't know. That's been inspiring. And then I've also recently watched this four part show called, what's it called? Edge of the Earth. You watched it with me.
Oh, was that on HBO?
It's on HBO. My hairstylist, Chelsea, recommended it to me. HBO actually has a lot of great little documentaries and stuff. I found a couple of different ones, but this one was really good. It's four episodes. Each episode kind of follows a different story. So the first one was like a skiing, snowboarding one. There is one where it was like this huge like kayaking thing down these insane remote rapids. There was a surfing one. And what was the other one? Fourth one, climbing. Anyway, they're fantastic. They're about an hour long each, and they kind of document the struggles that, you know, these people are kind of taking on these expeditions and the struggles that kind of come along with it and the failures.
Do we see a theme here and the type of content that you like?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Survival adventure?
I was going to talk about podcasts a little bit. One of my favorite podcasts is called Real Survival Stories. And I love it. And actually, some of my favorite books are also survival books.
My buddy, what's
Steve Rinella.
Steve Rinella.
Okay, let's talk about Real Survival Stories, the podcast. I think I heard of this from Kara and Nate, one of their videos. I think they talked about it. And I was like, that sounds interesting. Was it them? Anyway, each episode is basically a real survival story. It's about somebody who has had like a near-death experience and lived.
And they get the person on the podcast.
And so it's not just like an interview. It's like the person whose experience happened, they tell the story, but the narrator also tells the story. But the narrator like does a really good job of telling the story.
And the narrator, Steve Rinella?
No, it's not Steve Rinella. It's some British guy. But like there's sound design in there. So and there's no music, but the sound effects really heighten the stories that they're telling.
Didn't one of them, wasn't one of the episodes that buddy was bow hunting and ended up shooting himself through the neck.
That's Steve Rinella's book.
Oh, that was his book.
So the books are really similar.
Oh, Real Survival Stories is not Steve Rinella.
No, Real Survival Stories is a podcast.
Yes. I you know what? I've come across, because you and I share the same podcast account.
Yeah.
So like every now and then this guy that's a really intense British guy will come
on. That's him, yeah.
That's Real Survival Story. Okay, I know. I've heard it.
He's like, deep in the Amazon. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's really good. If you like intense survival stories, especially if you do like a lot of driving. I like it. I'm trying to save them up for like my next road trip, but mm-hmm. like I like them because they're so interesting that you have to like listen intently. And like, I can't wait. If I have to stop the car, I'm like, I have to go inside and listen to the rest of this. Like I have to know what happens. And then the next one plays and then the next one plays. And it's just,
but you really also use it like as an educational moment too.
Oh yeah. There's always like, takeaways from it. Yeah.
You and I are not infrequently out in the middle of the wilderness.
Yeah, which is true. I mean, every story is like, oh shit, you can almost see how these things are happening and the choices that people are making. And so then you start taking away things like, oh, this person left their camp at, you know, late at night and they decided not to take a bag with essentials in it. And then they, you know, followed something down a canyon and couldn't get back. And now suddenly they have no food, no water, no shelter, no way to make a fire, and then not enough clothes to keep them warm.
Right. It's like you see, as they're telling the story, you are identifying in real time all the holes of the Swiss cheese and exactly. how they're all going to align.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really interesting. Have you listened to any good podcasts lately?
Podcast. PJ Vogt came out with Search Engine.
Mm-hmm. Which, oh, I love it.
Which we've been both listening to.
It's so good.
You and I, like, I don't know how we got into Reply All.
But I started listening to Reply All years ago. Somebody from the marketing company recommended it to me, I think. And I started listening to it. I remember listening to it like back in when we lived in Vancouver.
And Reply All was like one of those OG podcasts that I feel like were just very popular very early on.
Yeah, I was like, you need to listen to this. I think you're going to like it.
And then like it kind of imploded. Like,
yeah.
There was some drama, but like it wasn't very clear, or it wasn't clear to me exactly.
Something happened.
If I dug into it more. But you know what? Search Engine is about like, it's PJ, who is one of the two main hosts of Reply All.
Yeah.
And what he does on his new podcast is basically just answers questions and then uses an opportunity to tell a really good story. Mm-hmm. You can tell he's like a journalist and he approaches things from a very like inquisitive manner.
Yeah.
But like he does a really good job just taking a basic question and then turning it into like a story with multiple threads.
Yeah. The thing I like about his podcast is that it's not like political or news related or anything really specific. It's just like curiosity. It's like, why are there so many chicken bones on the ground?
Yes.
And exactly. Then you're like, why are there so many chicken bones? That's so obscure.
Yeah. Or like, why are there like, what was the one he did about like affordable housing? Like, why can't we just take all these, why are there so many abandoned malls and office buildings and so few houses?
Yeah.
Like, where's the disconnect?
He did one on drugs once. What was the drugs one called?
Why do I take speed or something like that?
Yeah. And just like, they're just so interesting. Like he's a fantastic storyteller.
Yeah.
But like they're nailing the titles because the titles are really like, oh, I have to know.
Clickbait.
Why are there so many chicken bones?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a chicken bones part two? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, there's a why am I taking speed part two?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's done a really good job. And it kind of has, it gives me the same like satisfaction as Reply All did.
Yeah, me too.
But I do miss the other host from Reply All.
Yeah, the laughing.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's been so long now. I can't remember his name. Well, I have one more thing to say. You said you have like your creativity waxes and wanes.
Yeah.
Your inspiration.
Yeah.
I have this, I feel like my motivation doesn't usually. It's usually just always at 100%.
Whoa. Your motivation's always at 100%?
Yeah.
Or your willingness to take inspiration? Do you get inspiration?
No, not really. You holding a microphone up to me as I'm talking into a different microphone?
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Do you get
inspired? Sir, do you get inspired?
I don't find that my inspiration, my ability, my receptiveness to inspiration changes much. It is always what it is. But my motivation, I usually find myself as a pretty motivated individual where I'll always just be willing to do whatever.
Yeah. You'd be a perfect adventurer because you will do whatever it takes to get the thing done, no matter how monotonous or painful or right. uncomfortable it is.
And that's, you know, that's why like I'll come home from work and then immediately put on my work clothes and go start plastering the ceiling.
Or like you'll come home and you'll check the mailbox and a gigantic thing of mail will come and you'll go through all of it immediately.
Right. But that's also coming back to like that little hack that I can't remember where I heard it, but it was said, if you are a person who puts off tasks, make a rule for yourself that if this task is going to take less than 5 minutes,
just do it right away.
Just do it right now. And you'll less and fewer things will pile up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know, man, in the last couple of weeks, I've just been feeling like, oh, I don't really want to do that right now.
Okay. I've noticed that actually about you, the last couple of weeks.
I've been sitting on the couch just watching fucking TV and shit, which is very atypical for me.
Do you think that maybe you might be feeling a
is
little...
Is this depression?
Yeah, I, that's what I'm kind of getting at. Like, do you feel like maybe you might be on the other side of like creeping towards burnout or maybe a little bit depressed or a seasonally affective?
I miss my helicopter.
Oh, man. So
first world problem.
Yeah. It's been really abnormal. Like it's usually the opposite where you're like, okay, I'm going to get work done. I'm like, oh, really? Right now you're going to go plaster at this hour and you go and do it. But like the last couple of weeks, you've just been like,
yeah,
not
like,
into
I don't do that right now.
You haven't really wanted to do much. You no. Okay?
Well, I was sick for that whole week.
Yeah. I think it's a hard time.
My
of the
whole
year.
Vacation week.
Yeah. You didn't really get time to recharge because you were so sick.
Mm.
We were supposed to go hot tent camping.
Mm. And that worked out because the weather was kind of...
The weather was shitty, yeah.
Well, the weather was good in turn, but bad for hot tent camping where you're wanting snow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's a tough time of the year. Thankfully, it's starting to get lighter out later. But, you know, I think sometimes when you're really busy and work is really taxing, you need to take that time to, like, hang out and recharge. Sometimes that takes a lot longer. I mean, I've definitely been feeling a little bit of that lately, like putting stuff off, maybe not as motivated as I was maybe last month or... For Christmas.
You also had a lot of big projects that had that, well, didn't have to get done, but you made your own deadlines and said they had to get done.
Yeah. And you also like haven't stopped in like a couple of years. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen you really do this where you just kind of sit on the couch and not really want to do anything.
And watch TV like normal people.
Yeah. So maybe it's just like, I don't know.
Maybe I'm getting old.
Maybe it's just a natural thing. Oh my God. I've pulled my neck in the shower like 3 days ago. And I have been absolutely
You had yourself
wrecked.
Convinced that you had meningitis.
Dude. I mean, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning crying.
With neck pain. I thought that I was like, wow, like this is a red flag. Like when someone wakes up in the middle of, when pain wakes you up in the night and that like, that's not a normal thing.
That I don't think that's ever happened to me like that.
Like that in my mind, I was like,
something's going on.
Yeah. I was like, well, we'll reassess in a few hours in the morning and see how she feels.
I had a rash too, which is concerning.
I mean, that was exactly where my friend, having gone to medical school, that was my exact first thought. I wasn't going to say that to you, but you already brought up meningitis and I was like, okay, it's already on her radar. I'm not going to like say, yeah.
Anytime I have a stiff neck, I think of meningitis.
It's because you come from the worst case scenario Peckham household.
Did you know I went to school with somebody who had meningitis in high school and they were fine after,
I mean,
but
not like,
like
an uncommon thing.
No, but they were like, oh, I had a stiff neck and.
Yeah, but also there's something called herpes encephalitis, which you might also could have had. Oh, she says, oh my God.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
These are all the yeah, you didn't know that was an entity. Now you know. Now you're going to be scared of that one too.
Tell me more about that.
It's basically just meningitis caused by herpes.
Like face herpes?
Any kind of herpes.
Because I have really bad cold sores that are like in the nerve of my face.
Right, which is a variant of herpes.
I had one last week.
I know you did. That's what the first thought that ran through my head.
Oh, like, I was thinking more like bacterial meningitis, but thinking... Cold sore meningitis.
Like viral.
Fuck.
You didn't even think that. Yeah, see, this is why I don't tell you these things.
Well, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning because my neck is still outrageously.
You don't have meningitis.
Does this need to go in the podcast? We should end it here.
Oh, we're going to end it here because we're in 36 minutes on the clock. Thank you for tuning in again, listening to things that we think are deadly. Meningitis, not deadly.
Not deadly, but the rest, well, meningitis can be deadly.
Literally
but
deadly.
But not in the way that we're talking about deadly.
Correct.
We'll leave some of our recommendations, I guess, on our show notes, beckyandchris.com/podcast, whatever episode number this is. If you're curious and want to check out some of the things we talked about, though, if you can listen to us, you can probably just Google it while you're listening.
That's correct. Okay, bye.
Bye.